So every year, as we journey through Lent, we come to this moment, this Saturday, the Saturday of the fifth week of Lent. And as I mentioned at the very beginning of Mass, we stand at the precipice of entering into Holy Week, the greatest time of the year. It is the greatest time of the year. And it is a privilege to be able to enter into these mysteries. So here we stand, and we have gone through, you know, the readings during Lent. They cover the first part of the readings during Lent, cover mainly the themes of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving as Jesus taught in the gospel. And then now, like the past couple weeks, they've really dealt with Jesus's, you know, haggling, if you will, with the Jews. But it's not really like a haggling as much as it is Jesus has been on trial. The arguments that he's had with the Jews have been about that he is the Son of God. And as the Jews, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the elders, as they have heard this and they have seen his signs, his miracles, right, his teachings, his prophecies, or his explanation of Scripture, I should say, they didn't like it. And so what you see from the past couple readings is that after these arguments with the Pharisees, you know, Scripture has it that many people came to believe in him. And then after the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, you especially have more people beginning to believe in who Jesus was. And so this was, as Jesus always was, for these chief priests, Pharisees, scribes, he was a threat to their life. Not to their physical life per se, but to their way of life. They were institutionalized Jews, you could say, right? They found their identity, their comfort, their sense of purpose in life, if you will, through the offices that they were carrying out as these Jewish leaders. And Jesus was a threat to that, and that's what you hear in the gospel today, because they're like, you know, the beginning of this gospel is it says many Jews who had come to Mary and seen that what Jesus had done began to believe in him. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees are hearing about this and they're like, oh boy, we better do something. We have reached a critical point here. Either, and they say it, they say either he dies or we're going to die. That's in effect what they say. They say that if we leave him alone, everybody's going to believe in him, and the Romans are going to come, and we're in trouble. They're going to take away both our land and our nation. And we're going to be out on the streets looking for a new job. That's kind of how it is. And so they came up with a master plan, right, that they were going to kill Jesus. Why? Because it was better for one man to die than the whole nation, so that the whole nation may not perish. That's what they spoke. That was their logic, but they erred. They erred. And let's consider this. In their error, what did they err in? They erred in their inability to believe. Because when you think about Jesus, when he was, you know, say this. Faith is based in reasoned evidence, right? You have to have reasonable evidence to believe. Faith is not just a leap into fantasy island. It's not, you're not trying to believe in, you're not believing in unicorns or some kind of like the tooth fairy or, see if there's any young people here, Santa Claus, right? This isn't, believing in Jesus is not like that. Oh, I'm sorry. Saw somebody back there. It's not a leap like that, like a blind faith. It is a reasonable It's based on a reasonable evidence. And what reasonable evidence did Jesus give? He gave, right, words that were backed up by signs or miracles. And then he also gave an explanation through Scripture and how he fulfilled the law and the prophets. And so Jesus laid out his case through his life to these Pharisees and Sadducees and all these leaders of the Jews. But they weren't buying it because they did not want to buy it. They didn't want to believe, right? Because again, you know, if they opened their heart up to Jesus, their life would change, and that was scary for them. Because they had a grip on, you know, whatever authority that they had, and they liked it. They liked being in control. But that's not what God is about, is it? God is the one who is sovereign over all things, and God is the one who is in control. He is. And so that's why he came to earth, because he went to establish his lordship in our hearts. That's what he wants. But to do that, we have to take that risk, right? That leap of faith, because there is a leap involved, but it's a reasonable leap. It's a reasoned leap. And we say, yeah, that makes sense. I'm in. I'm jumping. Lord, here I am. I'm opening up my heart. I'm surrendering my life to you. I want you to be in control. And that's what a lot of people, that's what started to happen with a lot of people who were hearing Jesus, seeing what he was doing, hearing his words, and they're like, I'm in. It's what Peter said. To whom shall I go? You, Lord, have the words of eternal life. But not the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees. Not them. Because they didn't want to surrender. Because they didn't want to let go of control. And so, why is this important? This is important because as we enter into Holy Week, you know, we cannot take for granted what this week is about. Even should we, you know, we plan on participating in the Holy Week, activities as much as the Holy Week prayer. You know, like we have Palm Sunday tomorrow. Oftentimes people have the tenebrae services on Wednesday night. Then we go into the whole sacred triduum and all the things that are involved with that. But it's a grace to be able to enter into the actual mysteries themselves and really ponder and try to open up ourselves and surrender to what they mean in themselves and for us. It is a privilege. It's a grace to be able to do that. And that's why in this moment, as we stand on this precipice getting ready to jump into this week, it's important for us to recognize the role that faith plays in this time of prayer. Because faith, again, opens us up to the mystery. And when we're open up to the mystery, we're opened up to the person of Jesus and the mysteries that we are going to be contemplating, which are the mysteries of Jesus himself. The more we are open to them, say it this way, the more we believe, the more we have faith, the deeper we can go, the more we're going to be open, and the more the power of that mystery is going to be able to penetrate into our life. And yes, the goal is to help to purify us and to heal us of the ways in which we do this, you know? And I raise my hand, I'm the first one. I am the first one. You know, ultimately, through our contemplation of the mysteries of Holy Week, we're trying to go maybe from here to here to here to here to here. That's where Holy Week is meant to take us, through our own contemplation. We're trying to be, well, it's covered up, but we're trying to be like that crucifix. That's what we're trying to be, right? Because that's what we're called to be. We are in the image of God, to live in the likeness of God, which means we are called to become like Jesus. We're to be followers of Jesus, take up his cross and follow him. And that means our own death, our own death. That's why this week is so important, so important. So I celebrate the votive mass today, Mary at the foot of the cross, precisely because, you know, during the Triduum, you know, our focus is on Jesus and all that he has done for us, and specifically recognizing the Last Supper, the cross. And not that we don't pay attention to the Blessed Mother, but usually when we preach specifically on those events. But today, on this Saturday before Holy Week begins, I just wanted to have this as our votive mass, our prayer of Our Lady at the foot of the cross, because she shows us how it's done, right? She shows us how it's done, and nobody expressed that better than Pope Saint John Paul II in his encyclical Redemptoris Mater, where he spoke about Our Lady's, what, pilgrimage of faith, and how Our Lady always had to exercise that abandonment to the mystery of faith, to all that was revealed to her. Did she really know what it was going to mean when Simeon said, "And a sword of sorrow is going to pierce your own soul too"? Maybe, possibly, but she might not have known concretely how it was going to work out. You know, she always was being led to stretch herself and to abandon herself in faith and following her son all the way to the foot of the cross, where she herself was united with him perfectly like this, and offering him to the Eternal Father for precisely to fulfill what the high priest said, that is better for one man to die than all of us perish. Our Lady knew that, but she knew this, the truth of it, that it was better for her son to die so that we all might live. So may we seek Our Lady's help, her guidance, her spirit, that will allow us and obtain for us really the grace, because without Jesus we can do nothing. Without grace we can do nothing. That we can really ponder our need for the grace to perfectly and to the best of our ability enter in to this coming Holy Week. Because God has many, many graces to give to us through our pondering and entering into the celebration of these sacred mysteries. Holy Week is awesome. It comes around only one time a year. May we take full advantage and open up our hearts to allow the Lord to effect his salvation in us according to his plan.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.